Hey friends, welcome to the Help and Hope podcast. I'm Sharon Betters, and I am really excited to welcome as our guest today, Jackie Rose. Jackie and I met virtually when she invited me to be on her page called Grieving Moms Finding Hope. And what an incredible experience that was for me. Jackie and I clicked right away because we have both lost sons. And so even though we have not met physically, there are some parts I know about Jackie probably, and she knows about me that even her best friends don't know because of the losses that we have experienced. But Jackie agreed to come on the Help and Hope podcast to share some of her story and to share some of the hope that she regularly offers to her many, many subscribers who are from all over the world. Jackie has written a book called, I want to make sure I get it right, called Resurfacing, a 12-week hope-filled guide. And I have it and I love it and it is amazing. And Jackie is going to tell us a little bit more about how that book can be used. She has also written a book called Just Be Journal for Grieving Moms. So Jackie, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for giving up your time. I know you're a very, very busy woman, but you have such a great message of hope. And in fact, you, as you were dealing with the death of your son and trying to figure out what your pathway was going to be, you say that you prayed, "Dear Father, give me words from heaven into my heart, into my head, and through my hands. What do I do with the loss of my beautiful son?" And the Lord gave you these marching orders. Give them hope, Jackie. And friends, I think you're going to agree with me that that is exactly what Jackie is doing through the ministry that God has given to her. So Jackie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sharon, thank you so much for having me. And I agree, when you look into the eyes of another woman that has lost a child, there's sometimes just no words. You don't have to say anything. You just know. And it's just a heart-to-heart conversation.
Yes. Yeah. You're just forever connected, forever linked, yes. For sure. Well, before we jump into our very deep topic, and I know that this is going to be maybe hard for some people to hear, but it's also going to be very encouraging. Tell us a little bit about your life right now, and tell us one thing that you do when life feels like it's just spinning out of control.
Well, I was thinking, you know, so much about that, and I was thinking, I think my life runs parallel to joy and being unpredictable after this loss. And truly, there's no way, and, you know, I don't even need to say it sounds cliche, but there's no way that I would be able to even be breathing right now without my salvation and the love of Jesus Christ, because how do you walk through something so horrific like this? You can't do this on your own. And if you are trying to do this on your own, I beg you to please just do this, because he's already got it all planned out. So my life is, you know, it's funny. It is joyful and unpredictable because we have a lot of fallout from, you know, what's happened to this family. We have, you know, the moments of, I just choose joy. You know, I don't want to walk this path. I want people to see that I'm still able to have that joy. And people will have said to me, "You must not really have, you know, had a close relation with your son," and, you know, all these things people say. And I just smile and say, you know, thank you. But at the end of the day, I just know where I'm going and I know where he's at, and I'm going to live out my life the way that I know Jesus wants me to.
Well, I think one of the things that such a loss does, at least it did for me, was I was not going to live according to other people's expectations. Mm. That I was a grieving mother and I was going to grieve the way that I had to grieve without worrying about what other people thought of me. And I'm a pastor's wife, Bible study teacher and all that. So there's an expectation that, well, you're a woman of faith, so it's prescribed. There's a certain way that your pathway has to be prescribed. But that didn't work for me. And I don't believe it worked for you. And God gave us a different pathway to walk. So. Well, tell us about your Randy. Tell us what he was like and share with us what happened.
Well, of course, you know, we all want to remove the stigma of when something so horrific happens. You know, if you look at countless incidents on People magazine. You know, we look at the moms from Columbine, and we look at, you know, things of Sandy Hook, and we were first, you know, quick to judge the parents of, you know, these children, like, oh my goodness, they must have had a terrible life. You know, my family was in a big community. I have three boys, and one is in heaven, of course, Randy. And Randy was just like any other normal kid. He was very gentle and silly, and he loved to play with his brothers. They were all on baseball teams. We went and did river trips. You know, everything was a normal situation. Randy always wanted to be in a position of like authority. He wanted to be a police officer. He wanted to be in the military. So he did pursue his dream and went into the military. And, you know, something definitely, I think, changed in him when he was in the military. You know, he didn't go overseas, so I can't really say, you know, that's the first thing. Oh, did he go overseas? He has PTSD. Well, going through training in the military does bring on, you know, some, they're trying to break you. And I think that, you know, my daughter-in-law, Marseille, that he was married to, always said Randy was her masculine flower, being that he was very, you know, rough and you know, tough, and but yet he had this softness about him. And I believe that in the military, someone's trying to break you of that. If you have a gentle spirit already, he was a man of God. He got himself involved in an affair in the military, which was, you know, but let's just say this, Sharon, we're all human. We all make mistakes. So again, being quick to judge, I was absolutely floored when I heard this. I feel like he lost all hope at having this marriage of his reconciled. I feel like that, you know, whatever was going on, the stuff that was going on in his brain, you know, while he was in the military and then going through this, he just completely lost hope. And I don't know if you want me to like say what he did, because I'm okay to do that, but I can answer that later on. But he was normal. Let's just say that he was a normal kid. And of course, as a mom, you wish that he would have went out as a hero. But that's not the case. Mm-hmm. But he's still my hero, because I know that his actions were because of the love of his family.
Yeah. Well, you have said that losing a child is like getting caught in a landslide. What do you mean by that?
Well, if I may, I'd like to share the scripture about the landslide. There's many layers to why. But there's a scripture that I remember that Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church recited the day after we came home, bringing the family back. And it was 1 Corinthians 4:8-10. And it said, we are affected in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And the interesting part about it was that I just was watching a movie with my middle son. We were watching a scene from Lord of the Rings, and all of a sudden, you know, these characters are going across this mountain pass, and the earth shook, and down came, you know, this snowfall onto them, and it just buried them. And all of a sudden, one by one, they came up like they tried to get out of this. And my son, Ryan, looked at me and I looked at him, and we had to, there was just no words. It was as if we felt exactly the same. I also love the song Landslide. I happened to be in the mountains days before. I looked down to my side and I saw the reflection of, you know, my shadow on the snow-covered hill. And then 2 days later, the landslide brought me down. And most women in this ministry, it's amazing, Sharon. They will say, the day of my landslide. And so they identify with this term. And some of them may not even be mountaineers, and that's okay. But that's why I came up with the landslide.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I mean, as a bereaved mother myself, it makes absolute perfect sense, especially that sensation of feeling smothered and not being able to breathe and trying to get to where you can at least get a little bit of breath, a little bit of air into your lungs. So it absolutely makes sense. You mentioned your son's story, that you've lost a son, but there were some other circumstances that I think probably, I mean, you had several reasons for grieving in your pathway. Would you mind sharing some of those because that landslide is almost like it's one after the other. How do you get out of that and start breathing again?
Well, yeah, my son, he wasn't again in his right mind. He thought that he wasn't going to be able to get out of this. So he attempted to take them to heaven. He proceeded to use a knife to try to take them to heaven. And my daughter-in-law cried out the name of Jesus in the middle of the attack on her dad, on her and his two little boys at 6 and 4. And I believe that Jesus' hand just came in and just protected them and said no, because there is such power when we call out the name of Jesus and the enemy flees. Because Sharon, like from a clinical standpoint, a medical standpoint, many professionals have said that those individuals should not be here as of what had happened. And then they ended up, we stayed there for a week. We flew out from California to Cheyenne, Wyoming. We flew out to be with them. We arrived, it was just my husband, one of my sons, and myself. And we got to the hospital and they didn't even want us to go in. So the beginning of the blame and the shame and, you know, again, who are these parents? My beautiful daughter in love, Marseille, said, no, that is my family. You let them come upstairs. And the first thing I did was I was able to go past the room of my grandsons. And of course, they're stitched from here to here. And they were sitting looking up the TV. And of course, they have them medicated. And I went to their side. And I didn't want to let go. In fact, I crawled in bed with them and I stayed there for hours. It still chokes me up to this day. And the nurse actually said, do you need to get up to go to the restroom or anything like that? And I'm like, no, I'm not leaving their side. Everybody kept saying, don't you want to see Marseille? And even though she welcomed us to come in there, I was still feeling like, I mean, imagine, you have no idea what someone's going to think. You know, this man has an affair, right? Tries to take them to heaven. Now she's mourning his loss. And believe it or not, to this day, she still misses him and loves him and has forgiven him, because we know it wasn't Randy. But that whole week we stayed there in the hospital. Then we flew them all to Southern California. We had to have fiber buffs around their neck to be able to hide so people wouldn't be staring. Brought them into our home. The home was then turned into basically a preschool again because we were empty nesters and the community came together. These are what we call our search and rescue team. The people that, you know, and people, while you're listening to this, don't be surprised if it's not the people that you thought that were the nearest and dearest to you that are going to come to your side. Some of them may run as far as they can, because God's not called them to be there for you during this time. So just accept the help and the love and always say, I need, because that's what we had to do. And they stayed with us. And it was almost a year of talk about unpredictability of everybody grieving differently in that home.
Well, to me, part of your amazing story is your relationship to your daughter in love, as you called her. I watched a video on your website and it's supernatural what God has done in bringing you together and the love that she has for you and obviously that you have for her. It is an incredible picture of redemption. And one of the reasons that I was hoping you would share some of these details is because I know some of those who are watching, some of those who follow our Daily Treasure devotional and things like that, they are in similar situations, not the same exact circumstances, but where adult children have just found themselves in horrific situations where the parents still have to figure out a way to go forward. And you bring something very, I think, supernatural to the table when you describe the relationship that you have with your family. You brought up the idea of grieving differently, that different people, every one of us grieves differently. And I remember the night of the death of our own son, a friend who had lost a child, they came by to be with us. And the dad said, give each other the freedom to grieve differently. because one could want to talk about the child, the other one doesn't want to talk, one wants to take pictures, the other one doesn't, one wants to listen to podcasts, the other one doesn't. How did you manage all of that in your home? Because you had a number of people who were grieving and different ages, all of it. How do you manage that?
Yeah. Well, again, surrendering, because again, we have God's word. It doesn't give specific situations of our circumstances in there, but we just have to trust. And, you know, I mentioned Lord of the Ring, and I felt like Gandalf, truly, or Moses with my staff. You know, I came in and I'm just like, this incident is not going to tear us apart anymore. Like I had to, Jesus came in and overturned tables. There were times where I had to come in and say, we need to stop being so selfish. We need to be selfless. And the last thing we need is division. We need to have community. So I would suggest having a lot of family meetings, you know, nothing official. Sit in your living room, sit at the breakfast table, sit down and just, I would say, I want to hear you. I want to know where your heart is. And to give each other grace. I mean, it does say in Matthew 7 about do not judge or you will be judged. You know, we have to understand that our past experiences, everyone's, our perceptions of life are all going to be bringing ways to the table that, you know, maybe our past hurts that have happened prior to this landslide are going to also be the tools that we have that we think we're going to use into the next situation. And it's not. Every new landslide in our lives, you're going to need a new set of tools. And I don't mean to change, you stick with God's word, but something from before is not going to work in the next situation. We need to come together. We need to talk about this. Mm. And the best way to do it is to diffuse it, is to ask a question. Sometimes I've had to say, did you mean to hurt me? Because that was really hurtful. You just have to be very gentle. But in this process, especially a mom, you know, being a mom, I felt like, you know, in my situation, it was more that I was a spiritual leader in the family. And even though my flesh wanted so hard sometimes to say things, because, I mean, let's face it, I'm in a state of hyperarousal just like everybody else is. But you'd have to start your day and you have to pray over the day, Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, please take this day because I have no idea what's going to happen. One day, you know, tables or chairs are being, you know, thrown down by my grandsons. You know, they're letting my dog out the door to see, you know, what the reaction of everybody's going to be. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, the things that we dealt with.
So some of the things you're describing could be kind of the debris of the landslide.
Yes.
That you're experiencing. So how do you prepare? You mentioned you start each day with prayer, but are there other practical things that you would suggest that help you to start cleaning out that debris or living in the middle of the debris?
Take time for yourself. Go outside and take a walk or whatever it is that you did before. It may be difficult. You know, maybe you're wanting to hide from every person, but I really encourage you when things get heated to go out and take a walk. I highly recommend journaling. And a lot of times people, I have my own special journal that it's a leather bound. It's got roses because my last name is Rose. And I decided that everything I was feeling, Sharon, I just emptied it out onto those pages. Because sometimes we can't pray. Sometimes people are angry. Yeah. Sometimes we're questioning God. And, you know, again, to everyone that is listening and watching here, I want to encourage you to say, at some point, you're going to stop asking why to God. And you're going to say, what can I do with this? What can I do with this? That to me is the moment that your healing journey begins. Because you know what, friends, you may never understand why. God is a mysterious God. He is a loving God. And you cannot blame him for this. He does have you. I know that. 100% I know he has you.
Well, when you, in your book, Resurfacing, which I would love for you to tell us about how you use that in the Grieving Moms Ministry. In fact, tell us about the Grieving Moms Ministry. But before you do that, you talk about spindrift thoughts. What do you mean by that? And how do you handle your own spindrift thoughts? What do you do to, I guess, bring them back under control?
Good question. Spindrift thoughts are basically anxiety attacks. I tried to take that word out of everybody's vocabulary because it's so overused. And a spindrift in mountaineering terms is a place up in the mountains when you're hiking and the snow has kind of gone into like a whirlpool and it's made this big spindrift of snow. And stepping on it at times can be very unstable. In fact, it's recommended not to go near because you could fall through. So it's kind of like our thoughts. And so my spindrift thoughts would be, like I mentioned earlier, you know, I really wish that my son could have gone out as a hero, somebody in the military. I think back to, you know, why didn't I fly out to Cheyenne immediately when I heard things were going bad? I've let go of all those spindrift thoughts because I just know that I know that I know that God had me where I wanted. In fact, from the mouth of babes, my grandson, my oldest grandson, that was 6 at the time, he's now almost 14, said, well, Noni, what if you would have came out? Do you think daddy would have tried to kill you? And because you're his mom. And so these are questions that we were confronted with. And well, daddy's brain was broken, you know, and I don't know. I can't answer that, you know, Noah. And he said, well, what if your brain breaks? So those are the spindrift moments happened a lot during that time. Because again, you're in a fight or flight stage. Now, if there is a spindrift thought that comes in, I immediately will have to diffuse it with a scripture. In fact, I have in Grieving Moms, I have my little carabiner that I refer to in mountain climbing. And these are what it adheres to or attaches to your harness that you're attached to the mountain with, right? And this is a lifesaver. Wow. Right? So, I mean, this is a very small one. It's not heavy duty, but this is like a scripture. You need something to hold you on to that when you feel like you're just going to fall. And memorizing scripture, if you don't memorize scripture, that's okay. Because there are so many ways to take in. If you don't want to, when these things happen, turn on praise music, you know, listen to a podcast. Listen to, you know, there's so many ways. The Bible is on audio now. Force yourself to bring in something that is God's word. Again, take a walk. I just feel like I'm at that point where, you know, God's given me like they call it girls with swords or whatever, that I just say I'm not letting the enemy take any more of my family. I've had it, but I can't go into the dark myself. Jesus has to go before me into the dark because that is not my place. I'll hang on his coattails behind him and I'm like, okay, Jesus, let's go in the dark. But I'm not going by myself.
Well, around Mark Gank right now, our theme verse for this year is light entered the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. Mm. And so our theme is that we are offering the light of Jesus to one person at a time, where they will understand that Jesus is the light and the darkness cannot win against him. But you've brought up some very good ways of filling our heart with truth. And I think that's part of the battle is the lies that we allow to settle into our hearts. And God's word is truth. And the promise of his presence was, for me, the bedrock of what helped me in my own grieving journey, is to remember no matter how low I went, he was lower. He was there. And some people might say, well, these are cliches, but cliches often have truth to them. And so I'm a credible witness of the fact he keeps his promises in ways that we may not understand. And when we don't feel his presence, we can lean on the fact that he can't lie. And he's promised his presence to his children, to those who love him and know Jesus. So I love that idea of the spindrift thoughts and bringing them back under control. Tell us about why you started Grieving Mom, Finding Hope, and how does it work? What's the structure? How is it helpful in ways that maybe other ministries might not be? Not that they're not good, they're good too, but yours, I just feel like yours is a unique approach to helping reading moms?
Well, there are other groups. There are many that are out there. I feel as though the main focus for us is the ending, finding hope. It's grieving moms finding hope. Mm-hmm. That means that there is hope that we still have work to do. There's still things we have before we go and meet with Jesus and meet other people. So interesting thing is that all my life I have been in women's ministry. I led a mountain biking group for over 20 years in Southern California called the Trail Angels. And yet it wasn't just about the bike. I always loved to get deeper and to identify what their purposes were, because most of the women, as we know, they go through the whole raising their children, or they get so involved in their jobs. But, you know, friends, anything can be taken away from us. But one thing that's not going to be taken away from you is the gifts that God's given you. So if we put our identity in our job, in our, you know, our sports and our hobbies and people, as we know, as a grieving mom, we don't have our child here anymore. And we have moms that are struggling with that. So fast forwarding from there is that I was counseling at Saddleback Church for probably 10 years as a biblical counselor. And one of the women there said, do you have a publisher for, you know, your family story? Because I want to write my family story. Still doing that. And I'm still looking for an avenue that God wants me for that. And I said, well, I have a publisher. And they said, well, I have somebody to talk to. Long and the short of it is that I was introduced to Sherry Ward, and she had worked with Kathy Taylor, who has a ministry called Hurting Moms, Mending Hearts. And it's a ministry for women that have children, but these children they may be addicted to drugs or alcohol. They have become estranged from the family. And so these women live almost every day waiting for that phone call to, oh my gosh, like, where's my child? So they can live with hope. Now, all of a sudden, a lot of these kids were unfortunately dying, you know, from amount of things. And so she approached me and she said, I have this Bible study for the hurting moms. Would you be interested in writing one for grieving moms? And it was very shortly after Randy had passed, Sharon. It was maybe 6-7 months. And I'm still in a place of shock, okay? Wow. And yet, God has designed me to just march onward and to, again, stand up for him and for his people. And I said, yes, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but the only way to do it was I took myself over to Hawaii. I know that's not everybody's, you know, go-to, but I needed to completely unplug from life. And I found a treehouse that was on the big island on the rainy side, because I didn't want to be tempted to be in the sunshine, right? And again, my prayer from the heavens into my heart, into my head, through my hands, I prayed, and then God just downloaded in this little treehouse. And I will be putting pictures in my book going forward of that treehouse, because it is very sacred to me. And so the ministry really has now been growing in leaps and bounds. Unfortunately, it's bittersweet. I mean, I realize that, but the moms have a place to feel not alone. Community. I always say Christ, church, community, and care. That's the formula that I tell them. And once these women, oh my gosh, Sharon, from the very beginning, when they get involved on a Zoom group, we can do it on a Zoom church, you know, however, I watch them wailing in the beginning of these Zooms. After the 12 weeks is done, they're able to laugh. And even more importantly, now we're making leaders out of these moms, and to where they can now pay it forward to another mom. And then they've found the purpose in their pain. You know, another cliche, but there is purpose in the pain. And this then identifies them with, you know what, I'm going to carry on my son or my daughter's legacy. I am not allowing the darkness to shut and turn off my light. You know, I'm going to keep moving forward.
So you have a Facebook page, Grieving Moms Finding Hope, and women can connect there. And then just dig a little deeper, go to your website. What is your website?
Grievingmoms.com. It's
Grievingmoms.com. And what you're going to find there are opportunities to become a part of a small group, working through this book called Resurfacing. And that's what, Jackie, you were referring to, is the beginnings where moms are just so broken. But by the end of the 12 weeks, there's a sense of purpose in them. And many of them go on to pay it forward, so to speak, where you have training that equips them to take on a small group themselves. And so I just love it. I thinking, you know, as I was looking into it, I thought, wow, I wish I'd had this 30 years ago. Mm. Because I was just floundering myself. And what do I do? What do I do next? So I really want, if you are a grieving mom or you know somebody who is, even if it was a long time ago, there could be some unresolved things that God could use this ministry for. Just go to grievingmoms.com and check it out. Or go to Facebook and check out Grieving Moms Finding Hope. I'm just thrilled with the way God has opened up my heart and eyes to this ministry and to see what God has done through the brokenness and redeeming the pain. You know, I remember a friend telling me, I had written a couple of books about grief, and a friend who lost a child came back to me and said, I'm really sorry that you lost Mark, but for myself, and it's going to sound terrible, I'm glad because you're ahead of me in the journey and you're giving me hope that I will survive, and not just survive, but thrive. And I understood what she meant. I was not offended by what she meant. And I was grateful to know that God was redeeming the pain of our deep grief. So I feel the same way for you, Jackie. I know there are many out there who are so grateful for the hope that you give through grievingmoms.com. How do you see that Grieving Moms has helped you in your own journey?
Wow. I think, again, wanting to take hold of this, grab it by the reins and just saying no to any more darkness. But most importantly for me is that, again, a long time ago, I learned that, you know, I wanted all the attention, winning, you know, downhill mountain biking awards and getting medals and all that kind of thing. But it wasn't until I invested back into the lives of those women in the mountain biking group to teach them what I had learned, give them the foundational skills. I mean, you could see how God, you know, already had, he knew that Randy, you know, because Randy had free will, he knew that Randy was going to do this. And so he had this planned out. So I had, again, so many years of experience knowing, but there's no greater joy now and even before than taking what my pain has been and all the things I have learned. I tell everybody I have a degree in LE, which is life experience. And I'm borrowing that from my friend, Catherine Lee, because you are qualified now when you ask Jesus, well, how can, you know, here I am, send me, as it says in Isaiah, to go forward. Mm-hmm. And to when I see a woman, like I said, wailing and to now leading to me, I hear Jesus and I'll just say, humbly, well done, good and faithful servant. Because there's no metal, there is no material thing on this earth that's going to take the place of that feeling when someone says to you, thank you, Jackie. Thank you so much for turning your pain into purpose.
Well, and it goes right along with that passage in Corinthians where it says, with the comfort you've been given, comfort others. It makes it come alive. And that's one of the reasons we have the Help and Hope podcast, is because we have people who are ahead of us in the journey who are calling back that God is sovereign and you can trust him and willing to come alongside of us and are credible witnesses of their own lives, of God's presence in their own lives and the hope that only he can give. And so it's just a real privilege to have you, Jackie, on this with me. As we're wrapping up, would you speak to that mom who has just lost her child? And I'm thinking of someone right now who just in the past month suddenly lost their child and they feel hopeless and have wailed just as we have wailed. I can't do this. I can't do it. I don't know how anybody could expect me to do this. What encouragement or hope can you give to that grieving mother?
Oh, wow. So much. Take things 1 second. 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, you know, at a time. Ask for help. Just ask for help. Be comfortable being uncomfortable, unfortunately. And just know that with every day, and remember in Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. And this is not how he's ending your story, but to get involved, you know, again, with other women, because, you know, with all due respect to so many groups that are, you know, for grieving grandparents and aunts and uncles and siblings and husbands and wives, it's too diluted, if you will, because there is scientific evidence of moms carrying children and how connected that child is to that mother. So there's nothing that is in comparison. But the moment that you just say, you know, I'm afraid, I feel insecure, I'm going to feel judged, but you know what? I'm going to go in to a community that understands where I'm coming from. And I'm just going to say to you, friends, that you will never be judged. You will be heard. You will be loved. You will be just cared for, because everybody here has their own story, and we bring no scales to the table in this ministry, none whatsoever. But there's hope.
And I can attest to what Jackie is saying, because I've been hanging out at Grieving Moms, and what a beautiful message of acceptance and love you are giving, Jackie, to broken women who are floundering and feeling, sometimes feeling less than, or feeling like they've lost their identity, all of those things. And so I want to highly recommend that you check out Grieving Moms Finding Hope. Make sure you check out the website, grievingmoms.com. Check out Jackie's book, Resurfacing. I hope that our conversation is acting like salty peanuts, you know, where you can't just eat a few, you want some more. I hope that our conversation has shown you that there's so much more that Jackie has to offer to you and the women who are on her team, to offer the help and hope of Jesus in this extremely painful, horrible, terrible, no good time of losing a child. We both understand what that is, and we both are credible witnesses of God's glory and grace and his presence and his healing power. I'm Sharon Betters, and this is the Help and Hope podcast, and you can go to helpandhopenow.org. That's helpandhopenow.org, where you can learn more about our resources. You're going to find lots of stories just like Jackie's, from all different crises that we experience, that are often experienced in isolation, and many other free resources to help you walk by faith no matter where God has placed you. Again, I'm Sharon Betters. Thanks so much for joining us, and I look forward to being with you again.
Thank you for listening to this Help and Hope podcast produced by Mark Inc. Ministries. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Visit markinc.org, markinc.org, to find additional free resources on a variety of topics. Online counseling services are also available through Anchored Hope Biblical Counseling by visiting helpandhopenow.org. That's helpandhopenow.org. Download the Help and Hope app on your mobile device. Hope is just one click away.